The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Every day, proven right. It's not a republic, it's a fraud. It's a government supremacy, oligarch system. It's a kleptocracy. And we're given a show every day, every election cycle. That's all it is. Was there any doubt in your mind that Mike Johnson was going to flip it yet again, as he has financed the destruction of our nation, the principles, the whole time pretending to be a representative of us, the people who are not part of the short in the pants Democrat mafia? You see, I was going to start with the dimwit in diapers and Reverend Al Sharpton, you know, the same reverend who agreed to move, what, 10 kilos a month, got caught on an FBI tape, then flipped, became a rat, owed the government $3.5 million, cozied up to Barack Obama when Barack Obama won, his IRS problem went away, showing once again that it is a mafia. The problem is when you don't have an opposition to the mafia and you just have frauds. But the beauty of Donald Trump, the absolute beauty, is he started out as a Democrat, independent, became a Republican, overwhelmed the world. Because if he won by the numbers they told you with Hillary Clinton, times it by 10, that's probably how much he won by. And the fact of the matter is they couldn't afford to allow it to happen again. So they stole it. But the beauty of what he did wasn't just the economy, the quality of life in America, the foreign policy that saved millions of lives. The beauty is he exposed just how corrupt the underbelly of our government is. These agencies that have no oversight, none, an illusion of oversight. The greatest ones are the intelligence agencies. They're all crooks, liars, cheats who have stolen, we don't know how many trillions of dollars. What's the Pentagon lose 50 cents out of every dollar? What's the FBI budget? Does it matter? Has there ever been an entity so corrupt as the FBI for decades, sitting on the laptop that has the absolute undeniable evidence of a traitor sitting in the White House, a traitor operating as the vice president, as a senator? They sat on it. Not only that, it has the receipts, tens of millions of dollars from Chinese communists, oligarchs, and everybody who wanted to buy policy. Absolutely. The FBI, what'd they do with it? They shelved it. Not only that, during the election, Barack, who likes them big and round, misused this very issue, FISA, misused it to spy on his political opponent. It is the biggest scandal in American political history, and nobody says a freaking word about it. How many guys did they wrongfully go after? Entrap, or what's it called, a nudge from the Sally FBI agent who admitted it on a tape when he thought he was on a date with a fella? Man, oh man. At least when they were abusing Martin Luther King's rights, they were heterosexuals. Now, in the meantime, I'm going to tell you how easy it is to know what a little roach Mike Johnson is. And it's not only because right now he's standing next to Trump in Mar-a-Lago. So when you vote, make sure you don't do what they're banking on you good people to do. Straight Republican ticket. Throw everyone, every one of them out. Because this idea that we have a few that fight, out of that few that pretend to fight, about half of them are real. The other half are more bit players in this theater we call a republic.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential.
So let me get this straight. You spent your career seeing the hundreds and hundreds by your own mouth, you lying rat bastard. Your own mouth. You saw it. But then when you got the job, what happened? I almost got to hear it again. You lying.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses.
So now stop. Stop right there. So then your entire political career should be on neutering and giving that entire organization, that Gestapo organization, an enema. And anybody who partook in this abuse, anybody, go sit there with the former Gus Hall communist voters. Go sit over there with the communists. But that's not what you did, is it? Then you got taken into a dark room. Did they give you the bastinado? Did they beat your feet until you said, okay, I'm in? How exactly did they flip you, Tiny?
And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand.
The other perspective? Oh, you mean the fascism? You mean the tyranny? You got the other perspective on how this entity was justified in not only spying on Donald Trump, but God knows how many other Americans they're spying on right now. And that's when you said, you know what? I am a gangster government official. After all, it's the only place I can feel like a man, because outside of government, you really weren't a man.
The necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all...
That's another thing. Important for national security. So what are we going to talk about with national security? Where have you succeeded in helping the American people with national security? Where are the plots you've stifled? Where is the hacking of computer information you stopped? I just heard the news break. What, they got Roku? They got Blue Cross Blue Shield? They got everybody. You idiots. You can't open a door without a light and somebody telling you how to put the key in.
Members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been...
Fully informed? Let me tell you something, you fraud. Since you've been the speaker, not only has the national debt entered absolute and total bankruptcy, and you financed every one of these scandals, but what has happened in the world? Who is stronger and who is weaker as the terrorists all the way around, not just the Islamo-Nazis, but all the way around, are stronger and we're weaker? I mean, what good are you? And it got me to thinking, well, that's exactly what Nancy Pelosi's position was. Exactly.
A member who, as my Republican colleagues regularly remind me, whose progressive bona fides are unchallengeable, and who came to this institution to fight for civil...
Keep in mind when this drunken dimwit whore from the 80s, not only has she got the sniffles of the old eight ball like Al Sharpton, keep in mind she's worth at least $350 million. I say it's five with inflation and whatnot, all from policy insider front-running trading and her stinky hammer husband. And now we're going to celebrate her. She's a statesman.
Liberties. I yield 2 minutes to Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi.
I thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the gentleman for yielding. I thank him for his great leadership of the Intelligence Committee. And I thank our members of the Intelligence Committee for their important work to protect our national security on both sides of the aisle. Having served there, I know it's a place where we strive for bipartisanship. Mr. Speaker, as a gentleman...
How come they never come to bipartisanship on cutting expenses? How come they never come to bipartisanship on giving liberty back to the people that they've usurped? They can never... But when it comes to tyranny... Oh, we agree. You idiots, you're not deserving of your freedoms, of your unalienable rights, of your privacy, of your security and your paperwork. No, then we can turn the government spies on you anytime we want.
Indicated, I came to this committee in the early 90s, and my purpose was to protect the civil liberties as we protected the national security of our country. I had two.
Boy, since the 90s? You mean before September 11th? You mean before the bastardization of our currency? You mean back when the people had the lack of this FISA 702? You mean then, dimwit? Because the only real difference between Nancy Pelosi and Mike Johnson? It's about $349 million and cleavage, and that's it!
Two purposes. One, to stop the proliferation of weapons, nuclear weapons, and secondly, was on a par with that, to make sure that we protect the civil liberties.
Well, let's stop there, drunk, dimwit, tramp. So what's happened with nuclear proliferations? Well, Russia's got them. Iran's got them. Pakistan's got them. Every Nobody's got them. So you suck at your job. I mean, not in the Kamala Harris way. You actually suck at your job. And in the meantime, when the FBI comes a-calling, what else have they let just slip by?
Director Ray, have you read Robert Hur's special counsel report?
I have reviewed it.
Do you believe Joe Biden mishandled classified information?
I'm not going to discuss the report. That's the special counsel's report, and I've referred
it. In your opinion as director of the FBI, do you believe he mishandled classified information?
Again, I'm just going to refer to the report, and the special counsel can speak for himself on his report.
Are you aware, and this is breaking news right now, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote? Are you aware of that audio recording?
I would just respectfully refer you to the special counsel.
No, I'm asking.
They're not going to do a freaking thing. They've got a traitor who's been bribed from the communists, from the oligarchs who are receiving billions and billions of dollars from us. They're stealing and misappropriating fines. The FBI is in on it. In on it. Simple. Just like that that traitor, that treasonous spy who worked for the FBI, CIA, and Homeland Security, thought he was on a date with the man. Just like he said. They're above any kind of authority. They're above the people. They'll decide which crook gets in which office. And that's really what we're facing, which is why for 2 days, specifically today, all the Democrat crooks kiss their ass.
We're in a serious situation in this country right now. And with respect to what's happening, you know, with China and what's happening with Russia. And
whoa. Hey, Fetzo. Another Democrat fat slob. What about what's happening right here? Because simultaneously with the FBI cracking down to protect Americans and Nancy Pelosi and Mike Johnson, we've got terrorists. Terrorists in and out. We don't even know how many.
Tonight, an alarming development in the border crisis. Among the record number of migrants crossing the southern border was a member of an Afghan terror organization who was released.
Well, where's the FISA 702? How come you didn't know this? Hey, stupid. How come you didn't know this?
And all of these issues. And I'm really, really worried about where we're going to go. And I think we're at the worst spot. The Republicans and Democrats are fighting each other all the time. And this issue is...
Not all the time, Fatso. When it comes to stroking blank checks, the Republicans, we got bipartisan. When it comes to giving powers to these bureaucracies that have been corrupted for decades, you guys are all in lockstep. You hold hands. You do the hokey pokey, and you let Nancy Pelosi get up on the table.
It's both sides of the aisle as far as what's going on in the country. What I would like you to do is talk about what FISA 702, why it's so important, and why it's one of the most dangerous issues we're dealing with. And I think the FBI is being caught up right now. And really, President Trump, people who are supporting him, the Ed can support him, that's fine. And I don't want to interfere to that. That's whatever you want to do. But don't mess with the United States of America and our national security, because that's...
Hey, moron, I don't think you're catching on. You know, you're a Democrat. You obviously spend a lot of time eating desserts and whatnot. The American people have come to the conclusion that the bureaucracy itself is corrupt. The bureaucracy is protecting the corrupt in the government in high places so they can be funded. And simultaneously with that, they got a big raise this year. Did you? I didn't think so. 312-642-5600.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois.
In the upper Midwest, in the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560.
There is no amount of evidence that will ever get people fired in the FBI or that we don't even know who the frack is in the CIA, let alone the NSA. How about the DIA? Pick a three-letter agency that has massive, massive, not just increases of their own salary and what they're allowed to steal, because we don't know what happens with the money they confiscate. But now they have new weapons to use against anybody who speaks out against them. So do me a favor. If you were thinking about calling the show and you don't want the attention of the FBI, don't do it.
What you're doing. This is as serious as anything. I do a lot with the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. I work with them also in this regard.
No! All right, take your flag, roll it up, and blindfold yourself. Because these are the same rat bastards who have been lying to you since Vietnam. Same ones. every case a lie.
This issue is one of the most important issues. So could you please say why it's so important that we pass this and not get caught up in a Trump issue? Because
let me guess. Safety. You want a bet, squirrel? Don't touch it. You don't have the money to lose, and I'll take every dollar.
He's mad. He authorized this law when he was president. So come on. Let's not play the hypocrisy. Could you please tell the public at this point or us where we are and why it's so important?
So Section 702 is...
By the way, that just got him out of a jam. I'm sure if he was under investigation for, like, say, something Al Sharpton did. I don't mean agreeing to move 10 kilos a month back when that was a problem in the 80s. Got caught on an FBI tape. What about now? How does it look now for Al Sharpton, now that he's a big G-man?
Thank you, Rev. Thanks for that introduction. Look, we've known each other for a long time. I'm grateful not only for your leadership and partnership, but quite frankly, more importantly, for your friendship.
There you go. How many friends do you have that move 10 keys a month, squirrel? Not many. Joe Biden, he's got several.
Indispensable in keeping Americans safe from a whole barrage of fast-moving foreign threats.
It is. Really? What about drug dealing? Can you stop any of the... I mean, you couldn't stop the dope when you had Al Sharpton on tape. Can you stop the fentanyl? No, that's responsible for, what, 115, 130? Who gives a rip? American deaths. You can't stop anything, can you, Christopher Wray? You know what you can stop? You can stop evidence. Evidence that we have that links a sitting president of the United States to communist bribery, not to mention the oligarchs in Ukraine. You can't stop that at all, but you can stifle it.
It is crucial to identifying terrorists in the homeland, working with or inspired by a rogues gallery of foreign terrorist organizations who have publicly called for attacks against our country.
Really? Well, how come you didn't stop this? And we don't even know how many others.
Tonight, an alarming development in the border crisis. Among the record number of migrants crossing the southern border was a member of an Afghan terror organization who was released into the U.S. by border agents, according to U.S. officials. 48-year-old Mohammed Harwin illegally crossed into California in March.
Mohammed Harwin? Must be like me. You know what I mean? He's only half.
March of last year. His name is on a U.S. terror watch list, identifying him as a member of HIG, a terror group that's killed...
What the hell is HIG? How many of these 7th century barbarian groups do we have out there? My word. You're never going to be able to find them now with the masks and the beards. How are you going to find it?
Americans in Afghanistan. Border agents suspected he was on the watch list at the time of his apprehension, but lacked corroborating information, according to U.S. officials. CBP released him without contacting the FBI or Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Brilliant. Brilliant. But that's the plan. That's the scheme. And that's who Joe Biden is. And we had the evidence to link him as an asset, a bribery from communists to oligarchs to Middle Eastern saboteurs who work in conjunction with cartels. They can't stop a nickel of it, which means they obviously want it to happen. And when I say they, I don't just mean Democrats anymore and some corrupt Republicans. I'm talking about the feds, the FBI, forever bothering Italians, Federal Bureau of Incompetence. What are you good at?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Morant, since President Biden's been president, how many non-American citizens have come into our country illegally or on the basis of a claim of asylum?
Thank you, Senator. HSI is an investigative agency.
Do you know the number?
No, Senator.
You're a senior member of Homeland Security, are you not?
That's correct.
Does anybody know the number? None of you know the number.
There's what? 7 of them sitting there. Not a one knows the number. The ones that they catch, they let go. Idiots. Or as it's formerly known, government workers.
Try 8 million. Now, of that 8 million, how many were children, Mr. Morant?
I don't have that number.
You don't know. Does anybody know? None of you know.
What?
Isn't that special? Let's assume half. Okay? 8 million is 4 Nebraskas. Right? 4 new states.
By the way, if 4 million kids are here and they're enrolled in school in Nebraska, not Chicago, where they make $30,000 a head, it's 11-9
How much money does that cost? Ah, don't worry about it. Should worry about the terrorists, because the FBI, they claim that they need all of these weapons to make us safe. But are we really safe?
Excuse me. It helps us find out who these terrorists are working with and what they're targeting, and we made, and it's what we need to stop them before they kill Americans.
So who have you stopped? Can you give a name? Can you give one? The answer is no. They have no idea what they're doing. The problem is they have all the power to do whatever they want and all the money to do whatever they want. None of it stops. And that's because it's a bipartisan agreement to make you the slave and them the master. And I'm sick and tired of it. And if you think I think that they're going to allow Donald Trump to win, Mike Johnson, although he stands next to him, he'll be the first to stab him in the back. He cannot afford to have somebody come in here into that, a position of power of the presidency, with outside eyes. This is why they all work their way up through corruption. He talked just like all the Tea Party guys. We're going to rip it out by the root. We're going to fight for you. What did they do? Guts on ghoul. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
I don't know what it is in people's minds that they have decades of absolute prima facie evidence, of government corruption, and yet they willfully turn over more money and more power to these crooks.
702 is crucial when countries like China or Iran target dissidents and Americans here in the homeland in Iran.
You have the laptop that shows China bribing the sitting president. So if your bull dung worked, you'd arrest this dimwit in diapers, this wrinkled ass old traitor. And we wouldn't be in this position. But in the meantime, here's exactly who makes up the CIA and the FBI. Gavin O'Blenis.
Recall Gavin O'Blenis, the CIA officer who currently manages multi-million dollar contracts across government agencies and private sector vendors. Before the CIA, O'Blenis worked for the FBI and then briefly for Homeland Security.
What's my signing authority? $300 million? Yeah, I do have a copy of the paper.
Now I can tell my friend.
See, there you go.
It says, congratulations, it has the seal on it. See, I will tell her with my own eyes that I saw it. And it, hiring official is Scott Hobson.
No, Squirrel, it's an act. The reporter isn't a side saddle. He just has to act that way so he can make the FBI CIA guy feel like he's on a date.
The Bureau was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of cool stuff with the Bureau. I was the guy in the back of the truck in the van.
Speaking to a Sound Investigations undercover reporter, O'Blenis seems to have confirmed an anonymously sourced New York Times article about the CIA's involvement in the Ukraine conflict.
Are agents everywhere in the world? Every embassy?
Yeah.
Even Ukraine?
Yep.
But that's not... I didn't know that.
Why wouldn't we be?
Oh, right. What are we doing there?
Whatever we need to.
Right.
Paying off bribes. Bribes that were given to President... who, when he was the vice president, bribes that have enriched all kinds of political whores. Political whores that all of a sudden, they just flip-flop.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage...
Did that perspective, that different perspective, did it come in a satchel? Or do they just wire that perspective right into an account offshore, you crook? Mike in Rockford.
How you doing, Sean? Hey, keep up the great work. Listen, what do you think about FISA and all this stuff? You think they're going to defeat this, or is it going to go through
again?
It's
already passed, babe. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Mike Johnson just voted for it.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's what I just was telling you. It was a tied vote. Mike Johnson cast his vote, then goes and stands next to Trump at Mar-a-Lago because he's a Republican. That's what I'm trying to tell you, babe. That's right. That's why, Mike,
Sean, is going on everywhere. I mean, it's just the abuse of that, FISA, it's evident everywhere. You know, and they're using the illegals as a excuse to spy on Americans.
Well, think about it this way, Mike. What if it worked in the way it worked for Reverend weight mover, Al Sharpton. I mean, after all, it worked, right? They got him to flip. They protected whoever it was distributing the weight to him as he agreed to move 10 kilos on an FBI tape. And now everybody's happy to know him, even the sitting president.
Thank you, Rev. Thanks for that introduction. Look, we've known each other for a long time. I'm grateful not only for your leadership and partnership, but quite frankly, more importantly, for your friendship.
I wonder if it was the Sinaloas, was it Pablo Escobar? Which cartel was the Reverend Weight Mover moving weight for? By the way, whatever happened to his IRS bill? Don't worry about it. The Reverend of Perpetual Tax Evasion. Dan, Salem, Wisconsin.
John, I have the utmost, highest esteem for you.
Oh, gee, thank
you. You're awesome. You're just a below Superman a little bit, okay?
Oh, gee.
But I want to ask you this. Yeah. I know your contention with the Republicans when they pull this crap like the visor, like he just did, this Johnson guy. But we're kind of stuck, Sean. Give us the answer. I mean, you know, you tell us don't vote for these suckers. We're stuck with the Democrats then. We got to get them out.
You're always stuck. You're always stuck. What I'm trying to give you the answer to, it's simple. I'm trying to not sell you the illusion it's a republic anymore. What I'm trying to tell people, and what I think is crucially important, is that you need to go to a state that has a murmur of secession. We have in our powers, in our founding documents, we're supposed to have the ability to secede. There are states, numerous states, they call it convention of the states, but it's really more than that. These are states in the northwest, central part, southern part of the country that understand the federal government itself is corrupted and it needs to have the power, and we do have the power, called convention of the states, to nullify the corruption of the federal government. And in the meantime, Dan, there's an upside to going to one of these states. There really is. At every level, you're not going to be inundated. You're not going to be surrounded by willful, useful, idiot slaves, or even worse, government apparatchiks that derive their sustenance from government corruption. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You cannot control. I cannot control any of this. The proudest vote I ever cast is when I cast one that says none of the above. So in this particular presidential election, if by some miracle Donald Trump stays above grass or out of a prison cell, you vote for Donald Trump, fine. But in that Democrat-run, once great state, will it matter? Your vote doesn't matter there. You need to have the respect for yourself to go where you matter. You don't matter in Illinois. We're a super, super minority, and the Republicans in Illinois, they love the deal, too. I mean, just the ones whose brothers, meathead fat-ass brothers, are at OTB and lobbyists, and just the ones whose wives owns the video poker games and the marijuana dispensary.
I got out of Illinois back in 80. I moved to Wisconsin.
You're much better off. Now all you got to do is beat Orville Redenbacher on meth. I believe his name is Governor Evers. Thank you very much. You're much better off. George in Naperville.
Sean, the FBI is the eye in the sky. There is nothing to see there. Our weekend is here, and there is nothing to fear.
There is a show on Prime right now, and it's called Fallout. I don't know if it's insane. First of all, it's completely insane. I'm not endorsing it or whatever. But the premise is that we have been hit by a nuclear weapon in the time frame. It's like the 60s, 70s. But it's funny. When you want to know if there's going to be problems in foreign policy, it isn't just because Joe Biden is bribed. How many members of his administration have been in collusion with the 7th century barbarians, not just Robert Malloy, but there's been others that have enriched Iran, enriched nuclear enemies of our nation, strengthened the Middle East, 7th century barbarians. But he did that same thing he did when he told, what did he say to Putin about invading? What was that, Squirrel? Yeah.
Mr. President, what is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
That's a guarantee. Last time he said that, what did they wiped out a generation and a half? What is it, 400,000 or 500,000 Ukrainians are dead, not to mention the Russians. All could have been stopped through diplomacy. But back then, he said don't, which is a guarantee. Israel's probably under attack right now, and we're next on the hit list of those progressives, the from the sea to the river, the 7th century, the peace guys who make their wives dress like beekeepers. 312-642-5600.
Marxists, socialists, and communists are not welcome on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
This all could have been stopped by the FBI if they really were an FBI. They've known for years the political whore Joe Biden is. They're not offended by it. They protect it because they keep making more and more money and have more and more power. They truly are a Fourth Reich Gestapo, as I see it. Mike Oak Forest.
Hey, how you doing, Shauna? I just want to point out that all these politicians are like Manchurian candidates. They're put in positions, you know, when they're first starting off in their political party. And like you said, the mafia, they operate like a mafia. They catch you in like compromising or even put you in compromising positions where you're either doing something sexually deviant or taking a loan here and there that you're not
supposed
to take.
Well, it's funny when you think about the law. Look at the way the countries operate, right? They have these shill companies. They give tens of millions of dollars to very specific politicians, basically all of the congressmen, some of the senators. But now they have who they need in the White House. And right now on the news, as I'm watching, as you're telling me, China sanctions two U.S. companies because they don't like their policy with Taiwan. Who the hell is China to sanction anybody? You're going to sanction us? And you know what? They should, because Janet Yellen goes there and kiss their ass. Joe Biden goes there and kiss their ass. Swalwell was stooping the Fang Fang, who's built like a rake. Not to mention they got Mitch McConnell on the Republican side. It is a systemic corruption problem, and the FBI has known about it, and they do nothing. They bother guys in the neighborhood.
They are the ones who run most of the operations.
They bother guys in the neighborhood. Yeah, what do you got, a video game that isn't part of the Republican in Illinois? Then we're going to send the FBI after you, the morons. They step and they fetch a quarter mile away from Mike Madigan. He operated like a mafia don for 50 years. And now we're going to pretend he's on trial when he's 83. Thank you very much, Mike. What a great scam. FBI, my ass. Can you find out which one of your wives has my watch? Eric Marengo.
Hey, Sean, hear me out for 1 second. All right. I just got hit with a tax bill from 2018 from the IRS. I called them. I said, hey, I've been paying you guys. You're paid off. You actually haven't given me returns. I've got money back from you. How do I still owe you? Right? So now I'm thinking I got one way to fix it. I'm going to cross the border into Mexico, change my name to Enrico Marengo.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back and squat on my own house.
No, I mean, Eric, it's a disgrace. And, you know, this is something that is ironic to me. But how about the fact when they owe you money, they just give you money? But when you owe them money, what's the VIG on it? 18%, because they just made it up. You want to talk about a mafia, brother? Only guys who work for a living know this. Only guys who earn. Only producers feel the wrath of the true extortion labor or the true extortion mafia called government. The welfare roaches, do they get audited? I don't think so. They just vote Democrat. Even the corporate ones where they get billions. You think Fisker is going to get audited? I don't think so. Kevin, Austin, Texas.
Hey, Sean, do you know the circumstances around how the Constitution was written?
Yeah, there were a lot of guys like me that are yelling at each other, calling everybody else a moron, and they had to put safety valves in there so that if the government got corrupt like they always do, other decent people can break away.
You know, it came out of, they were supposed to just reform the Articles of Confederation. They're just going to make some changes. So if you do a Confederacy of the States, they'll probably just tear up the Constitution or and just do something.
Didn't they already do that? You're watching in real time. The Constitution means nothing. You're watching as an ex-president is being persecuted through the rule of a made up laws whenever they want it. And you think we got a Constitution, brother?
My point is the Convention of States would open yourself up to do something like that. I think people have to work with
Good. Isn't that better than pretending that there is a freaking Constitution? Did you hear the guy call? What do you think the guy makes? What do you think he supposedly cheated the IRS? Is it 5 dimes? 10 dimes? Is it 20? They squander billions, hundreds of billions. They can't find it. But they'll go after the guy busting his ass on a job site. Come on, man. Stop pretending there's a Constitution. Stop pretending it's a republic. Stop pretending there's an FBI. There's just layers of bureaucrats protecting the corrupt who are operating in government and funding the scams on fractional lending. I mean, we could go there. What the frack is fractional lending? It destroyed banking. And now they've got all the money. What are there, 5 banks or 6? You remember when there were 5,000, 6,000? How'd they get rid of it? Because they're the gangsters, not us. And the whole time you pretend, I got the Constitution here. What is constitutional? Tell me what fracking law What tax body, what entity is constitutional? Is it constitutional for the IRS to say, not only do you owe me what I say you owe me, but you owe me 18% on top of it? No, that's gangster extortion. Constitution, get the hell out of here. Here, is this constitutional?
Former President Donald Trump is set to go on trial in New York City in a case charging him in connection with hush money payments made during the 2016 presidential campaign.
2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. What's the statute? Ah, whatever we say it is. What about the Constitution? I got the Constitution. They should print it on Charmin. That's what it is, the Constitution. Pull your head out of your ass and stop kissing the ring of your slave master. Spit in his face. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so
everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy. When you talk about the bastardization of Americanism, the easiest place to prove it is with our very currency. Not many people remember why we're the world currency. It isn't just the World War II issue, but it's what happened afterwards. The Bretton Woods Agreement, the agreement that our currency would be backed not just by corrupt politicians, but by gold. Those days are long gone. And now we are accumulating $1 trillion every 100 days in debt, a debt that I believe already proves we're bankrupt when you factor in unfunded liabilities. But gold closes quietly at $2,355 today, and it's not on the news. So let's talk fundamental economics with somebody who's been practicing fundamental economics and an expert in fundamental economics for 5 decades. He is now the chairman at AU Secure Metals. He is Peter Thomas. Peter, thank you for joining me. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thanks for having me on. I remember you were on the floor at one time. I know if we cut you deep enough, we'll find a trading card there somewhere, you know. Probably be an old out trade you've been looking for, you know.
Yes, well, we have a lot of mutual friends. And in fact, in full disclosure, I was invited to the opening of AU Secure years and years ago.
And wow.
Yeah, I was there at the opening when they had the machines where you could buy the gold and silver. And you know what I love about that? Fadi, yeah. My buddy Joey, and the rest of us, we used to sit around and talk about back then how insane it was to have $8 trillion in debt and how, you know, gold had to skyrocket because we were believing in fundamental principles would win the day over. I think we all underestimated at that time just the tolerance for corruption the American people had, or the economic ignorance. I don't know how you attribute where we are today, but one thing's for sure, you can only hide this fraud in the U.S. dollar so long, can't you?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's very interesting that you go back to the Bretton Agreement because the fundamental basis of it was so critical. I mean, here all these guys were sitting around on this island in the middle of nowhere figuring out what they were going to do with the dollar. And, you know, the real interest is, too, let's bifurcate this. First off, Rand Paul has been battling for, what, 3 decades? To get an audit on Fort Knox. Yeah. And every year they turn him down. No. You don't want to go in there and count the gold. He goes, yeah, I do. I want to know what the hell we're worth. And they're going, no, you really don't need that tonight. I don't know how much gold we have. I mean, I am considered, I'm a federal mandate officer. I'm called in by the federal courts and the appellate courts to help adjudicate metals and metal settlements and things. And, you know, I mean, I could be part of any crew that went in there to do that. We don't know what the hell we got. That's one of the most interesting things, just to start to kick the ball down the hill here.
Peter, around 2000, maybe 99,
I was in the pit, the S&P pit. A friend of mine who was a portly guy, a chart nerd, ran in the S&P pit, and he said, listen, you're going to buy every bit of gold you can. I said, are you crazy? Do you know how much this is an ounce? It's $285 an ounce. Who the hell is going to buy gold at $285 an ounce? And but do you know what's funny? He kept saying, if they have to affix and bring credibility back to our currency and affix it to the debt, at that time, I'm going back now 24 years. At that time, gold would have been $8,000 an ounce. Now, if you try to save it, you can't. So you're going to have to, I mean, gold would be what, $140,000 an ounce? But now what you're going to have to do is figure out exactly how to bring integrity to the dollar. I mean, it's either that or World War III, right?
Well, first off, you know, I mean, let's war is definitely... you know, one of the machines that drives industry, but and in this particular case, the face of war has changed so dramatically that it isn't going to increase our wealth like it used to in the old days. So, and the numbers, the pure mathematical numbers, are if the supposed amount of gold is in Fort Knox that they claim there is, we would have to go to $10,500 to get close to a baseline. But as you know, and I'm sure you remember all too well, is when Nixon came in and went, no, we don't need to hinge the dollar against gold. We need to print this stuff, you know? And he decoupled us from the gold, and baby, that was it. He got off the plane in China, and it was all bets were off, you know?
You know what people don't talk about, too, is the reason he did that is France, other European countries kept sending ships here to get their gold because we got it from them and said, we'll hold on to it. And Nixon knew we couldn't give it to him. That's when it all started with everybody saying, wait a minute, why can't you give them the gold? And, you know, this is what started the curiosity among people of saying, well, why aren't you giving them the gold? You took it in an honest agreement that you were going to hold it till after the war. And, you know, this is why the skepticism of what's there. It should be there, and it should be a call among everybody. But yet politicians, when they get in positions of power, it's only really a handful that ever even mention it. Do you think the American people have lost that fundamental understanding of it, and now we're just surrounded by people who don't know anymore why we're the world currency or what's so important about having a standard to measure it by?
Well, I like this road we're walking down. So let's add a little more clarity to it, because – this is very interesting, and I think your viewers would be interested in this, because there's so much confusion about the value of gold as money, all right? And think about this. Nixon decoupled us from gold, and then they went into all the major schools. I'm talking Wharton, Harvard, all the places that had MBAs coming out that had jobs waiting for them in the mainstream that were going to become people of influence. And they said to them, we no longer are looking at gold as a monetary unit. We do not want you teaching it in school. Whoa, pump the brakes, baby. Now you're telling me that the heads of the financial community in this nation are no longer going to learn about gold in school? Yeah, we see no reason for it anymore. So what happened was, over 5, 10, 15 years, nobody learned about it that was the heads of corporations. And I get calls from CTOs, CTAs, COOs calling me going, what the hell is gold? They have no idea how to use it as a unit, how to even, and as you know from being on the floor, how to go to beta neutral and hedge it so that it will hold a base value. None of them have been taught that in school. So it died. And in the meantime, you know, people just assumed that we had enough gold and somehow we were linked to it, when in effect, all the mines that were running major corporations knew nothing about it. And I think it's very interesting that you brought that up.
Well, it's interesting because there used to be expressions that you heard when, you know, you had people that were creating liquidity, actual locals and various traders. It's all gone now. It's the perfect way to backdoor nationalize so much of the financial sector of our economy.
It's truly.
And that to me is why it happened, because you had 400,000 or 500,000 guys a day resisting the collusion and corruption of government backed banks and funds. And that was the thing in the way to where we are today, where we're completely unmoored from everything. But they used to have that expression, canary in the coal mine. And I remember guys would run around, did you see the price of copper today? Are you looking at silver? You know, quietly, quietly, these metals are really on highs, aren't they? I mean, silver can go to 42, I guess, after the Hunt brothers. But silver's at $28. Well, copper's at $4 and change. This is recessionary pricing, isn't it?
Remember now, let's look at now, we've split that down. Remember, copper now, for example, let's get realistic here. EV cars, right? EV car uses 100 pounds of copper. Your average vehicle runs between 15 and maybe 25 pounds of copper. So the consumption of metals now has changed. So when we see copper at $4, it's about where it should be for consumption. What you look at silver, and silver is now bifurcated. It has become as much a precious metal as an industrial metal. I mean, we use it for the purification of water. We use it in so many things. I deal with guys on the East Coast that manufacture wire because it's one of the best conductive elements that there is. So, you know, that's kind of split. So we're seeing demand coming in. But here's the thing. Let's go to your copper point, all right?
Mm-hmm.
China consumes 61 to 63% of all the copper in the world. That's a big number, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so we're seeing it creeping up, and the copper economy, which was driven by the Chinese economy is down about 25%, and they're lying about the rest. They're in trouble right now. And as far as silver goes, they're making colloidal suspension and creating all of our solar cells there. And right now, I know for a fact they're selling solar cells at almost cost just to keep people employed. They're at a massive unemployment problem. One out of every five college graduates in China right now will not find a job. That's an ugly number. 20% of your educated people will not be working. You know, they're telling them to go back out to their agrarian roots and plant some rice. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in there, and I'm glad you pointed that out. The question becomes, you know, will there be the demand to hold them at these levels? I think that's the question, Sean.
You know, and the reality is, when you look at the way in which gold is, even at $2,355, it's actually held down by naked shorts. They've actually changed the rules. There's option plays. If these contracts that went to expiration had to be delivered, could they keep gold under 7,000 an ounce? Oh boy!
You know, when I was in the silver pit in filling for the Hunts, right? And they looked at me and they go, these guys want to take delivery. How the hell do we do that? Nobody even knew. I mean, they were like, what is this? I go, give me the book. I'll read it. Cause I was the consummate reader, right? You know? And I said, let me read it and I'll help with deliveries. They're like, okay, great. You know, but you know, as far as the reality of people taking delivery, it's real thin. I mean, it's still very low, Sean. So you're 100% right. And the question here, let's go back. Let's step back to some of our earlier conversation here when you were talking about France. It's very interesting. If you recall, Germany stepped in and they went, oh, by the way, you're holding a lot of our gold at the Federal Reserve, and we want you to ship it to us because we'd like to hold it in our own vaults. And they went, what? Excuse me? You want what? You know? And 7 months later, they still didn't have their gold. Because I watched it. I wanted to see what the hell was going to happen. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden, Germany came out with a statement and said, we received all the gold. And I never saw the numbers leave the exchange, yeah. LME yeah. and Orbit. So I don't know what happened, but it goes oh. back to your point. You know, nobody's taking delivery, and the people that are, it takes them a while to get it.
What else is interesting is what's happening right now with this BRICS movement. And the idea that Zimbabwe, that Zimbabwe says, you know what? We have a problem with our dollar. We have a problem with everything. So we're going to fix it to our gold. And then you realize in all the, what is it, the history of gold, there's only, what, two Olympic-sized pools that you could fill with gold that's been mined. But these countries have mines. They have untapped resources when you're looking in Africa, when you're looking in Russia. They, ironically, could upend the whole system to a certain extent and legitimize their currency. That might be interesting to see how it affects us, wouldn't it?
Well, that's very interesting because I'm going to share something with you that a lot of people don't know. What's happening is China is aggressive, and they are buying every scrap of metal that can come out of Africa. And they are very slow in making the payments. And the Africans are not real happy with the Chinese right now. And any deal that they're making with them, they're looking around for somebody else to do it. I happen to know one of the largest metals dealers in and out of Africa. He has many permits for export there. And we talk regularly. He's a brilliant guy. He started originally with the Charter Banking Group. And he and I have been friends for years. And he's telling me, he says, you know, America could walk in here and just clean house. And if they set up a steady flow here, they could knock this BRICS thing sideways. But we don't have the drive right now to do it. We don't have the insight to realize that all of these precious metals that we're going to need. For example, all of you guys that are holding your cell phone right now and listening to the show on yourself, there's 72 metals in there, guys. Where are they coming from? We got to get them somewhere, and we should be getting them from Africa, and we should be doing it and teaching them how to do it in a way where you don't need slaves, you don't need child labor, you make it, you know, all of that could be taught and done properly, and it's not happening, Sean.
We need people like you and fundamentalists and people who understand it in positions of power. Now tell me a little bit about AU Secure, because it's been a long time. I haven't talked to Fadi in a long time. I talked to Joey a lot, but I don't know exactly where AU Secure is going. It had a wonderful concept to it. It was something that the ordinary fella could take advantage of and go in and kind of hedge himself. Do you still offer that service? What has AU Secure evolved into?
Let me tell you something. We are right now. We have three different things. I'm the chairman of offshore development, and we're doing a lot of stuff. You know, I'm on the radio, and I do a lot of TV in the Middle East, in Cairo. I'm number one in Cairo for metals. I also do Dubai, Abu Dhabi. You know, a lot of people listen. So we're doing a lot of stuff offshore. But we also have a retail site at AUSecure.com. You could drop in there anytime, pick up any metal you want. We're one of the few people that actually have rhodium on the chart. But so we're dealing retail, but we're also involved in doing swaps. We have some dynamite software that plugs right into FX dealers, that plugs right into crypto dealers. We got guys going, wait a minute, I just bought these Bitcoin at 25,000, we're at 70. Give me some gold, baby.
That's interesting.
Punch the button, and we just ship the gold to them. We're maybe exposed to the gold to the crypto for a nanosecond, and that's saying a lot. And we are. So what we're doing is we're filling gaps. And what? Because we're old school, we understand how to do it. So that's a great question.
What a great point that you can hedge the profitability in crypto and gold. I mean, that is brilliant. See, Peter, I was going to say, I think you're number one on your show that is in Abu Dhabi because you look like a manly version of Scorsese. But it's obvious because you have the principles and the understanding and you offer a service. Peter, I appreciate you making time for me. Will you say hi to Fadi and those guys? I haven't talked to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a pleasure to talk to to an old floor broker that bleeds the same color as me, you know?
Thank you very much, Peter Thomas from AUSecured.com. We're going to have you back, okay?
Thank you. I'll be with you. My pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
He's Sean Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
What does it boil down to? Weakening your property rights, the principle of this nation that made us the youngest and the richest with the highest quality of life of the ordinary citizen. That's when the government was emaciated. But in the backdoor nationalization of economics, they become the gods, you become the slave. That's why this thing about FISA and the spending, it's all tied to increasing power of the government, shrinking your power and your money. It's very simple. And we pretend that we have representation and we're a republic. I say we're not, and we haven't been. It's about time we at least start speaking like we're unhappy with servitude. Pat, Indiana.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi. Hey, I just heard your interview with the man from AU Metals. I just bookmarked it. But it just occurred to me as you were everything you were talking about. I'm a futures broker. I have been for 35 years. I used to work on the floor of the Merck.
Really?
The Merck Exchange. Yeah. I'm in Northeast Indiana right now.
Which pit were you in?
No, well, I wasn't like you. I worked, you know, as a runner and a phone clerk and that stuff.
Yeah, me
My
too.
My brother, what's that?
Me too. That's exactly how I started. I was a clerk for the Misfits of Merchants, then First Commercial, a phone clerk.
Oh, yeah.
I was an ARB clerk. In fact, I took my ARB classes from two of the best guys in the world. They taught me to be an ARB clerk. I went on to become a local trader. And, you know, back then they had the gem. They introduced the gem seat. I was in the peso when the peso collapsed in 94 and Bill Clinton bailed it out because Prince Awidi, who owned Citibank, he had the largest position in peso. And the American people cut the check and nobody knew about it. Yeah, a million years ago, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, my younger brother, is it okay if I say his whole name?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
His name is Bill Sullivan, and he was, I don't know if you would have known him. He was he started at the Mid-Am when it used to be a pit before they made it electronic.
Me too.
And then you might have known him, possibly.
Yeah, I know that. I know a lot of Irish guys. That's why I love the heckle them, but they're good guys. And I started in the Mid-Am in '89. Man, I was a kid.
Oh yeah, you probably might have known him. His badge was Elm, ELM.
Oh my God, I do know him.
Yeah, we're from Elmhurst, and my brothers Bill and John. My other brother, he's a military guy. You should interview him someday.
That's awesome.
He's got a lot. He flew and he's high up and all kinds of stuff. I won't get into everything, but Bill and John buy cigars from your store. They don't smoke cigars. They just buy and support your store.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. It means the world to me.
Yeah, but he was a DMARC broker after the Mid-Am. That's how long we've been doing this because there's no more DMARCs.
Yeah.
And then he was the guy who did Rolling Spot. Do you remember what that was?
The EU or the Euro? Did they have to do with the funding of the Euro? Am I misremembering that?
It was at the time, it was the Merck's. The Merck was trying to compete with the interbank cash market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they funged out the value every night, right? Is that what it was? Was that what it was? And they had the night guys at night?
I think so. You would have to interview Bill because he actually did it. And there was an ARB guy out of New York. Shlomo was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with him. And then because of that, when the tequila meltdown happened, I actually made business contacts throughout Latin America because of it.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that happened at that I didn't know about the Clinton thing you just told me about, but the other thing that happened at that time, and this would kind of, I guess, allude to the big banks issue. Well, what was happening was they were haircutting all of Latin America. So like, even if you were at a big bank in Brazil or Argentina, because of the, what they called the tequila meltdown because of the Mexican peso,
yeah,
they were, like, robbing the Argentinians because...
Yes. And the Chileans. Yeah.
Yes, and the Chilean. And I called into there, too. I wasn't able to make a lot of business happen, but I still have contact in that. But that was because of the rolling spot. And I could get way down the...
No, but I listen, you know what I love about this, right? You're just guys from Elmhurst. I'm a meathead from Melrose Park. There are guys from Skokie. There are guys from Beverly. You're talking about hundreds and thousands of Chicagoans, Illinoisans, that took advantage, and they were just kids. And they went down there, and they learned the basic fundamental economics of every nuance that is completely forgotten now. And now you have a bunch of people being lied to by the government as the government manipulates the very value and of the dollar that they earn in futility. It's very important conversation to have. That's why I enjoy having these topics.
Right.
Because people forgot about the fundamentals.
Yeah, and like why markets exist and so on. And what I hate to throw more work on your plate, but because you can really get it across in a good way, it would be fantastic if you would do a podcast on futures. The amount of people, if I talk to them and tell them what I do, they think like you're a vampire. Or they just give you a plank.
Well, they're morons. But here's the thing, Pat. That's what I try to bring when we talk economics, right? So that's why when I'm prepared to talk, like I was going to just, that's why I grabbed your call. We're going to go into the idea that Joe Biden and the Democrats are giving money to the people who borrowed to go to college. When that's not the case, what Joe Biden is doing is an accounting fraud because the federal government owns student loans, and those kids, because of the economics, they can't pay it back. So he's going to act magnanimous. I'm going to pay your student loan. What he's doing is frauding the books yet again, using those people as straw men, as red herrings, as useful idiots. And now we'll have the argument. Well, they're only a third, and that's all valid. But the real crime is that the government backdoored the student loan business when it had a debt of $600 billion, turned it into $2 trillion, and now can't get the money. So that's what I try to do on these topics, Pat. But I appreciate you very much, brother. Thanks for making a call. But you gave me an opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of that segue, because that's exactly what this is. Joe Biden isn't giving money to people. He is frauding the books, and that's all they know how to do, because they don't want you to know this.
The nation's debt continues to climb, rising at a clip of around $1 trillion every 100 days, on track to spend $870 billion on interest payments alone this year.
So people can't pay it. You cannot, because of Bidenomics and the lack of real jobs and the idea that the job market is completely cooked. They're counting part-time jobs. They're counting illegal aliens. So he can't pay the student loan debt. So what do you do? Well, you create a national argument and you pretend that I really like the kids who borrowed money and can't pay. I really do. I like them. So I'm going to pretend I give them money.
Let's take a live look at the White House right now. For the second time this week, the Biden administration announcing it's wiping out more student loans. More than 250,000 borrowers will get an email from the White House today telling them their debt has been canceled. This is
don't be distracted. I could do it. I could do the low-hanging fruit and the deadbeats don't want to pay their loan and they'll vote Democrat. All true. But what this is fraud. This is fraud that if a company did it, you'd all go to jail. If some little small business guy did it, you'd all go to jail. You see, when Barack, who likes them big and round, nationalized the student loan business, it was a problem. And those private companies, they had to go and chase down Joe Matarazzo, who didn't pay them. They had to leverage it. They had to bribe congressmen to make sure when they file bankruptcy, they can't throw the student loan debt in. He took that little problem and made it $2 trillion that they can't get because the economy they're manipulating is creating bankruptcy. The biggest numbers of people on welfare than at any time in history. So he's going to use these idiots and pretend, I'm going to send you an email. You don't owe them money anymore. Because the reality is, they don't want to pay any of the interest. They don't want to pay any. And they don't want you to know that it's a $2 trillion problem that the government finances with your money. So they're gonna menage a trois the problem. They're going to give you to Kamala Harris as if Willie Brown had a friend over. And they're going to hit you two times. And they're going to pretend we're just going to make it go away. And they're going to commit fraud, accounting fraud, that every accountant, every office receivable girl, everybody in business knows. It's just a mathematical lap dance. It's an illusion. And you take the column here and you move it over here, and it's fraud. And normally people go to jail. Unless, of course, you're the government. Then you get to pretend I'm altruistic with everyone else's money. You lying rat bastard Democrat fraud. I see you. You're a thief. That's all you are. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that, he's become an enemy of the state. He's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
And the numbers are mind-numbing. Tire, Goldwater, Revolution was started over, what, $8 billion? $8 billion.
Economists are warning this latest round of student debt relief could make inflation worse with more disposable income, driving prices even higher. So far, the Biden administration has canceled a total of $153 billion in student loan debt.
He didn't cancel it. He frauded it. Because what he knows is that people are drowning.
The nation's debt continues to climb, rising at a clip of around $1 trillion every 100 days. On track to spend $870 billion on interest payments alone this year. That's more.
So move the money around. Create it. Take a column here, click a mouse, over. And by the way, we'll pretend we're giving it to the people. That's how you know nobody understands the principles of any sort of not just government responsibility, but the limitations on government, because they don't know the fundamentals of the economy itself. Is this my Uncle Rolfie? Uncle Rolfie! I knew you were going to call.
Hey,
you heard a couple of Merck guys. You got jealous, didn't you?
I just said it's like a reunion. I had to give you a call. You know, I'm not sure. I think I know the kid that called about the gold, but I'm not sure. I didn't allow medals back then.
Kid, he's 5 months younger than you are. Everybody's a kid to you. See what happened to you?
Yeah, well, I'm 78. Yeah, that happens when you get old.
Yeah.
I got my compound. I closed on it last week. I have my own personal hill in Missouri.
Nice.
And it's well fortified. I got three rifle ranges on it. So it's
going
to be very thin. And I got the high ground. So when they pass this Second Amendment, the anti-Second Amendment bill, it'll be interesting to see who comes up the hill.
I'm coming. So don't just take it easy now. When you see the convertible topless coupe heading up the driveway, you just take it easy, will you?
I said that wrong. Let's see who gets back down the hill.
Well, I got
to
tell you.
You know, I've been listening to you, especially driving back up here to Illinois because I got to clean things up here. Anyway, sure. You know, you said that the Constitution is not where Jefferson said, either Jefferson or Adams, I'm not sure. This only works with a civil society. And, brother, we don't have a civil society anymore.
No, gone. You better get up that hill. Yeah, you get up that hill. You just keep an eye. You know, if you see the cigar smoke coming from the windshield, don't shoot.
We got to get together before. You got to get your butt up here into this gugat.
All right, I will. I'll think about it.
All right, kid, I love you. You keep it up. Keep fighting.
I love you, too. Thank you very much. And see, the reason that I call him Uncle Ralphie, we're not related, but we are, because we choose to be, is because that man right there is responsible for this. Anybody else would have thrown me off the floor. He said, you want to go to the Sox game. Rich, Indian Head Park.
Hey, Sean, how you doing tonight?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good. Sean, what I wanted to say is, I don't know how many people saw this speech by Senator John Kennedy when he was talking about how Schumer is not going to bring the articles of impeachment to the floor for trial. He's just going to dismiss them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's to bury the evidence of how bad the border is. Well, is this the democratic democracy and your rule of law?
Well, we're supposed to be a republic, so that a corrupt poor saying, like Schmuck Schumer couldn't do what he did, but he did, because we've allowed those principles to be bastardized. Yeah,
I'm starting to believe you 100% that no matter what these polls say, Trump is going to get no closer than Mariago to the White House. That's my opinion.
That's why you got to
get
closer.
Nice weekend, Sean. Huh?
You too, brother. Stay safe. And that's why you got to get closer. And what makes that even more disappointing when we hear from Rich is that he's one of the millions of Americans that fought for the country. He's lucky enough that he didn't die, but he was willing to. And everything he fought for is completely, completely bastardized. And now we have favorites.
A bank robbery in Ohio went bad after the robber's commands got lost in translation. It happened last Thursday in Sandusky, Ohio. Video from the bank shows a man who police say is a Venezuelan migrant sitting across from a teller, apparently unable to speak English. So he typed his demands into a translator app on his phone.
That we paid for, you rat bastard. You already robbed the bank. I mean, it's phenomenal. But that's the intention. And everybody knows it.
Let's assume, I don't think it's as high, half of them are children. How many of those 8 million people are still here? Do any of you know? Okay. How many of those 8 million are claiming asylum? You don't know? How many of them claim asylum and don't show up for their hearing? Nobody knows? How many of them claim asylum, don't show up for the hearing, and President Biden has deported them?
You gotta be kidding me.
You don't know? How many of them have claimed asylum?
Everybody he's talking to makes over $150,000 a year, and you pay for it. Everybody. These are the experts.
Asylum, shown up for the asylum hearing and been denied asylum and been deported. You don't know. How many of them were from Mexico? You don't know.
You don't know anything. But what you do know is you're ringing the register.
In the meantime, we are learning more about how much Chicago is spending on sheltering migrants. The city just released some numbers, and it says between August of 2022 and the end of 2023, it spent $295 million on new arrivals.
But that's without the Fed money. Add another $200 million. Just move the columns around. Click the mice, mouses, whatever. We'll be back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty.
As we now hear the infamous don't from what I call the dimwit in diapers, some call president. I believe the last time he said don't was before we had the war in the former Soviet Union that has cost, we don't know how much money, let alone the toll of lives. It's somewhere upwards of 400,000. Now what we see in the Middle East, it's hard to believe that there has been a foreign policy win for the American people since Joe Biden acquired the office. My next guest is an expert in this arena. He is the director of research and outreach at the American Ideas Institute, senior editor at the American Conservative. He's also elected associate fellow at the Royal Historical Society in London. He is Dr. Sumantra Maitra. Thank you so much for joining me again, doctor. How are you?
Thank you very much. How are you?
Well, I thought about you the minute Joe Biden was able to find more millions, hundreds of millions or whatever the hell he found for the Ukrainians. This is just really a giant fraud, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mindless. There is no end game. There is no theory of victory, as we say in international relations. It's complete waste of money.
Well, what is the definition of loss? How much losing? How many lives? How much chaos has to ensue? How much how much turmoil to the environment, as now we have another dam that mysteriously imploded at the on the side of the Russians. We see that we're pecking Cessnas and flying them into oil reserves of Russia. This is something that should be troubling among the people who believe that the climate is in danger, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, when you ask the question, like, what is the definition of loss, it automatically brings you back to the question of what is the theory of victory? What do we consider to be a Ukrainian win in this situation? Is this going to be like status quo before February 22nd of 2022? Is this before 2014 Donbass coming back to Ukraine? Is this like a reestablishment of Ukrainian sovereignty in Crimea? Is it going, you know, to the borders of 1991 and 93 when the treaty was signed of Ukrainian nuclear weapons ceasing to exist? Like, none of those things matter unless you, you know, everything starts with definitions in this business. So when people talk about a theory of victory, when people talk about loss or win, I always ask them, like, so what does like winning or losing constitute in this opinion? I mean, one of the things that the Ukrainians haven't replied, or anyone who's pro-Ukraine hasn't talked about much, is something that Senator J.D. Vance wrote an op-ed today about manpower deficit in the Ukrainian conflict. If it's a war of attrition, right, war of attritions need two things. One, production capacity, and number two, manpower. Germany was amazing when it comes to weapons and platforms in the Second World War. It didn't win because it had a manpower deficit by the end of the war. Same in 1917. Germany was winning. It knocked out Russia from the east, but it couldn't win the moment Americans started pouring in Europe in 1917 during the First World War. The South had good technology and even good tacticians when it comes to war. It couldn't win in the American Civil War because it didn't have manpower. No matter how much money we spend on Ukraine, no matter how much weapons and platforms we supply them, the Ukrainian, unless NATO wants to join the war actively on one side, which I highly doubt, a lot of NATO countries actually want to do that. You know, they don't want to risk their, like, London or Paris, you know, nuclearized because of Mariupol or Donbass. Unless NATO joins the war actively with their manpower, this is a losing fight.
Well, it's also a fight that clearly is happening because there is no alternative to it not happening. I have never seen an instance where there has not been a call for diplomacy. None. In fact, the people in America have been censored or kept away from any information of the other side in any form. And if you even mention it, you're somehow an asset of Putin. This is something that I think is clearly an indication that it's fraud. But there's also been a development, and that is through a investigative reporting entity called Sound Investigations. I don't know if you saw, it was an undercover report that was able to flip one of the people by the name of Gavin O'Blenis, who came out and had worked for the American intelligence arena from the FBI to the CIA, and openly talks about the manipulation of the Central Intelligence Agency to create, start the war, and keep us involved in it. This is something that would be a scandal if we had a media in the country that wasn't co-opted by government itself, wouldn't it?
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, dynamic that you mentioned in that question. A couple of things which I wanted to mention is, one, you know, if you're a libertarian or a conservative, you probably have read Hayek. You know, the moment a war happens in a country, your media echo chamber kind of like stops. That there is this thing called informational hegemony that automatically then comes into place. Number one. Number two, the majority of the people in the mainstream media currently that you see these days are all products of journalism schools. That wasn't the case up until like 30, 40 years back. If you are a junior reporter, you do an internship in a news house, you go and talk to people, you take interviews, you report, and then let the public decide on an educated guess. That has changed. Obviously, these days, it's the thing has kind of like reverted back to how it was in the medieval times. For example, code scribes, they have this one linear idea, and that's all they're going to amplify. So that's how the media system has changed. And as for the, you know, CIA and State Department, I do agree that the intelligence is extremely heavily invested in Ukraine. But the intelligence is invested in Ukraine for very different reasons than the State Department. The intelligence wants to degrade Russian weaponry, Russian capability, and bleed Russia. You know, they don't care about Ukrainian people. The State Department, on the other hand, is heavily ideological. So when you see there's a debate between the State Department on Tony Blinken on one side and then on CIA William Burns, you would imagine that the CIA and the other intelligence agencies are far more amoral when it comes to what happens to Ukraine. They don't want to go to war with Russia, but they also don't want to give Russia a free pass. They just want to bleed Russians to the moment, you know, till they're white. Obviously, that doesn't answer the question what happens if the Ukrainians are also bleeding on the other side, because Russians are not just going to take it, you know, lying down. But the State Department, on the other hand, is far more ideological. The State Department is there in Ukraine for a cause. They want to promote this liberal institutional hegemony of the European Union. They want to put Ukraine inside the European Union's trade. So that they are far more ideological when it comes to the end games of this conflict. So there is this constant conflict between those two sides as well. I mean, obviously, it's under the same umbrella, but still.
As we speak right here in my studio, we have on television sets in my studio more propaganda where Ukraine fears it will lose the war without U.S. aid. The only thing that's really happened is that an electronic Rolls-Royce was sold to the tune of $660 million or some $660,000 for one car. You see the kind of money that's being misappropriated. There are scandals. Oh, yeah. There are information that is pouring out where upper echelon of the Ukrainian government, their wives are caught with $30 million in suitcases. I thought this would be a scandal, yet it isn't. So why aren't the American people offended by this?
No, I mean, the American people are offended, but those who are open-minded and those who are listening to the news are offended by it. I mean, the only reason that you don't see a major scandal is because, number one, usually the anti-war party in the modern times was the Democrats, and they now they're in power. So, like, the power dynamics kind of, like, forces them to have kind of, like, a discipline in their ranks when it comes to promoting the Ukraine war. I mean, there are a lot of dissensions within the Democrats, but they're obviously, you know, they have this bogeyman in front of them that, oh, you know, we are going to face fascism if Trump comes to power and all that. So that's one. But secondly, as you mentioned, you know, the same thing happened in Afghanistan, by the way. You know, you found a whole bunch of people with money stacked in their bags leaving the country. And, you know, the funny thing about the Afghan president was wrote a book. He was a sociology professor who wrote a book about, you know, managing a country to modernity. And this guy was an absolute corrupt guy who fled the country with bags of cash. Same thing happened with Zelensky's wife when he was like, I think it was in G20 when she was in Paris, and there was this reporter who took photos of her coming out from, you know, shopping in Paris worth of $30,000 of clothes in one day. And people are thinking, like, this is it's absolutely incredible. I mean, there are news reports. The reason that these news reports are not amplified is, you have to understand, is because of their informational hegemony. The informational hegemony absolutely would make you sound like a Putinist. See the reaction to J.D. Vance's op-ed today. You know, there are no substantial argument against the fact that regardless of how much weapons and money we give Ukraine, the Ukrainians are not going to win the war because they simply don't have the manpower. The moment you say that, people are going to call you that, oh, you're just talking about Kremlin talking points. There is no substantial argument against it.
Well, it's funny the way the mirror image of what's happening in the Middle East. There's a scandal that I thought was a scandal, but apparently it didn't catch a lot of attention, and that was the scandal of the $10 billion that America puts aside so that Iraqis can buy what they call energy from Iran. There's billions and billions and billions of dollars that the American people are sending, ironically, to a place where all of the heads of the terrorist organization have condominiums and strippers in it called Qatar. And that's my American Chicago way to pronounce it. So Qatar is the Spanish or the Swiss banking system for the Middle East overlords of everything from cartel members tied to terrorists and oligarchs to what's happening in Iran. And there's billions and billions and billions of dollars in Qatar. We don't know much about Qatar banking rules. So I have a question for you. Obviously, they are all washing the U.S. dollar through the World Bank and through different entities. Does Qatar practice fractional lending? And I ask you this, Doctor, because if that is the case and the American people are sending $10 billion into Qatar, they could, in essence, get $100 billion from the World Bank, couldn't they, if it's fractional lending principles?
They could. And also, like, I mean, to top off your question, one of the things, I mean, you probably already know the answer, but, like, take a guess as to which Middle Eastern country spends the most amount of money in D.C. Think tank circuits.
Qatar.
Just take a guess. Exactly. Like, I know think tanks, obviously I cannot name them because, you know, there are like defamation laws and stuff and you can't prove all these things, but there are think tanks in DC which gets paid like to the point of 800,000, a million bucks a year just to like promote pro-Qatari nonsense in there. Just anyway, to broadly go back to your original question, look, the Middle East had a stable equilibrium. The only reason the Middle Eastern equilibrium broke was because we were this evangelically opposed to Iranian hegemony in the Middle East. Regardless of the question whether Iran was actually capable of acquiring a hegemon, of being a hegemon in that region, you would understand that Israeli, Saudi Arabia, and Israeli power is far more than Iran combined, which is one of the reasons why the Abraham Accords worked so well. Is because that was a natural equilibrium that was already being played. Both Saudi Arabia and the Israelis are worried about Iranian rise, and by balance of power theory, you know, the moment you are worried about a rival coming to power, you try and form alliances opposed to it. It has been throughout history, it has been the, it's like an iron law of politics. So that was happening anyway. What Americans did well under President Trump was facilitate that alliance system to this accord, which means like you have now connections, you have connections between the governments, you have connections between the intelligence, and you can coordinate your replies, your responses to the rise of Iran. Now, we don't want to go to a war in the Middle East. That's number one. Number two, we also don't want to have a major garrison in the Middle East, which is static because it's an area of declining interest. So what do? We have this small places with indefensible people standing there and facing attacks. So we are essentially having a strategy which is in the middle of both sides. You know, we are neither completely committed to, you know, pacifying Middle East, which obviously that failed, or we are completely committed to coming out of Middle East, which should be the ideal strategy. So we are in the middle, and we are just facing just this random attacks about by forces which we can't even control.
So the difference, the way that I see it, between money to Israel and money to Ukraine. The difference that I see that most people aren't talking about is that the only reason we have this money to Israel isn't because Israel needed our money. In fact, they're quite successful. They don't need 5 cents from us. But what we have done is negotiate a money laundering scheme, and we use Israel as the mere vestibule of that scheme. And it's really the American people securing that Israel doesn't manufacture its own weapons and doesn't go elsewhere for its weapons, that it only buys its weapons from us, ironically financed by us. So they don't really need our money, right? It's just another payoff to the Cheney Trust Fund, isn't it?
Right. I mean, there is this meme on social media where you can see, like, there is this, you know, rise of missiles coming from Gaza or West Bank towards Israel, and there is this raft of missiles coming to stop that. And on both sides, this is my tax dollars. And this is also somehow my tax dollars. So it's absolutely, you know, it's funny if it's not true. Like, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's just sad. Israel was a prominent ally during the Cold War. And part of the reason was because there was Soviet Union and we didn't want our oil, you know, to be controlled by countries which are aligned to the Soviet Union. That changed by 1973 and especially by 1993. You know, the moment we kind of like got Egypt on our side, the biggest threat to Israeli sovereignty went away because Egypt was fundamentally a Western-educated, old country with extremely powerful military. And when that threat was neutralized, there was no hegemonic threat to Israel. Iran can talk a lot, but they are rational people. They don't want to go to war with nuclear Israel, right? I mean, they want their own sphere of influence in Iraq. They want their own sphere of influence in Yemen. They don't want to go to war with Israel. The only thing that we have currently that goes in favor of Israel is we have tech transfers. So, for example, there are technological advancements and research that goes on between the two countries, which could be classified as important. Other than that, Israel is extremely capable of defending its own territory. In fact, if you talk to some really far Israeli right-wingers, they are opposed to America because they think we are holding them back from doing what they want in Gaza. So they think that the fact that they are having to fight this war with their hands tied behind the back, according to them, I don't believe that. But that's, if you talk to them, that's what their opinion is. Like, look, you're asking us to pacify this area where people are opposed to us with our hands tied behind your back because you want us to follow the human rights that you followed in Iraq and Afghanistan and failed. So they are opposed to America in this way because they think that we are asking them to fight a war which they're not capable of doing in the ways which they're going to fail.
I could agree. I could I could agree with that. I could agree with that premise. When you look at, at the way in which Washington, D.C. is speaking out of both sides of its mouth. And then when you realize, look at what the money, the treasure, the blood, the chaos, the amount of military guys injured in Iraq. And does anybody really know what the circumstance is today in Iraq?
Right.
It appears that they are but an arm of Iran. I don't see what the agreement is. Do the bureaucrats even know what exactly is happening in Iraq?
So I'm going to tell you a name, and you can Google it when, you know, when we are done with the conversation. There is this researcher named Jill Hazelton. She wrote a research paper, I think like a few years back, called The Hearts and Minds Fallacy, where she mentioned that the only time counterinsurgency operations win is when you are absolutely brutal. You don't have to spread, you know, win hearts and minds. You don't have to spread democracy. You don't have to spread human rights. What you have to do is pacify the place and put someone who's on top, who's brutally going to provide order. And she gave an example, like the British in Malaya, the Russians in Grozny, the Sri Lankans in North Sri Lanka. All of those counterinsurgencies were successful. The ones that failed, us in Iraq and Afghanistan. So looking at the Israelis, I mean, they have a point. You know, we don't really want them to go to war the way they want to.
Right. Well, this is why I love having you on. You bring a perspective and knowledge that I think, I mean it, I love the fact that you
make
time
for
me. I really do. And thank you so much for doing that. He is Dr. Sumatra Matra. Where can the people go to keep an eye on you?
It's on Twitter, Mr. Matra.
I really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Cheers.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Friday. I forgot it's Friday. You going to party like a Ukrainian lobbyist from? Yeah, look at you. That explains that Versace shirt you got on. Like Bruce Jenner before the transformation.
Among the many painful prices, gasoline is now up again by more than 50% since the start of Biden's term.
I wonder how that could be.
In just 2 days, the United States will swear in its next president. Now, we're learning the transition of power will have some major effects on this side of the border, especially when it comes to the Keystone XL pipeline. Michael Couture is following the developments. He joins us now from Ottawa. Mike, we appreciate you taking the time for this. So ripple effects are massive. What do we know about the Biden administration's plans to scrap the Keystone expansion project?
Yeah, we're hearing on day one, on Wednesday, one of the executive orders that President-elect Biden will sign into effect is rescinding the permits, the construction permits for the Keystone XL pipeline that does go through the United States.
I wonder what the ramifications for Canadian oil companies were. Ah, don't worry. Don't think about anything. Just believe the Democrats.
You know, you really want to say to Donald Trump, how dumb do you think the rest of us are?
Well, there's millions of people who thought your pasty, white, Irish ass was an Indian because you said you were, you lying whore.
I'm not going to let him lie his way out of this. Donald Trump brags and continues to brag to this day about the fact that he put this extremist Supreme Court in place and all of these folks who stood up and so soberly said to the American people and to the United States Senate, yes, I'm going to follow precedent. And that was all supposed to be code for, I'm not going to fool around with Roe versus Wade. And then the very first opportunity.
Another beautiful part about Donald Trump. Let all of the people who have such low fracking character that they would kill their own flesh and blood. Let them go to one side of the fracking country, will you please? Go to Illinois. Go ahead.
I don't mean the second or third. I mean the first chance they got. They said, oh, you know what? Not anymore. We're just flipping the whole thing over. And for the first time in American history, took away a constitutional right from half the population.
You do not have a constitutional right to kill your kid. Believe me, there are a lot of people when their kid turns 14, 15 would take you up on that. You don't, you lying rat. Then again, you're an Indian, right? You look like the Dutch boy on the can, you freaking Irish whore. No offense to you Irish people out there, but that one annoys me.
That means we're going to be seeing him day in and day out inside a Manhattan courtroom where he's a criminal defendant charged with 34 felony counts. At nighttime, however, We expect.
What did he do, Squirrel? He allegedly, through his lawyer. By the way, I got to wish half of my legal team happy birthday, Longo. In the meantime, he through his lawyer, he paid off an actual prostitute, porn star, stripper, through another whore. His lawyer, who got caught not just evading taxes, but frauding loans on tax licenses controlled by the mafia. It makes about really good sense.
In Fort Pierce today, lawyers in the former president's classified documents case are expected back at a federal courthouse in Fort Pierce for a hearing. It's unclear what exactly the hearing's for, but earlier this week, we know that a judge decided the identities of potential government witnesses in the criminal trial would remain a secret. The trial date has not yet been set for this.
So he's also facing more classified document trials. What about this guy?
Director Ray, have you read Robert Herr's special counsel report?
I have reviewed it.
Do you believe Joe Biden mishandled classified information?
I'm not going to discuss the report. That's the special counsel's report, and I've referred
it. In your opinion, as director of the FBI, do you believe he mishandled classified information?
Again, I'm just going to refer to the report, and the special counsel can speak for himself on his report.
Are you aware, and this is breaking news right now, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. Are you aware of that audio recording?
I would just respectfully refer you to the special counsel.
No, I'm asking you, are you aware as director of the FBI? You're either aware or you're not.
I'm aware. Am I aware of what now?
Whether the audio exists of Joe Biden saying in February 2016.
They don't even listen. Am I aware of what now? What exactly is your job? I mean, I know. Are you catching a plane to go meet your wife in the Adirondacks again? And by the way, he flies private. He's Christopher Wray, head of the Forever Bothering Italians, the Federal Bureau of Incompetence, who's sitting on the evidence, tens of millions of dollars, to the dimwit in diapers, who I think is, what exactly is he celebrating now, Squirrel? I can't remember.
Thank you, Rev. Thanks for that introduction. Look, we've known each other for a long time. I'm grateful not only for your leadership and partnership, but quite frankly, more importantly, for your friendship. And thanks to all...
Al Sharpton, on an FBI tape, can you move 10 keys a month? Yeah, I could do it. Your end's going to be $3,500. I'm down with that. What part of the Reverend book is that in? I don't remember. Do they move weight in the Bible? I don't think they did.
There are more extreme voices out there who simply don't want to see people of color in the future of our country.
Oh,
they want to
turn
back the clock. Voter suppression. Elections.
You mean like Robert Byrd, the Ku Klux Klan senator you hung around with? You said was an inspiration? You mean like you eulogized him? Once again. I don't know. That one lied about not being a racist. The other one lied about being an Indian. I can't figure you guys out. Let's go to one. Here is a big, chubby Irish Democrat on a pension. What's up, fat man? That's your cue there, chubby.
Oh,
hello?
I'm sorry.
Man, oh, man. Were you watching a commercial about desserts? Was it Sara Lee?
I went into a dream. Anyway, oh. Alvin Bragg shot this judge.
Another fat man on a pension. Yeah.
Yeah, he shot this judge, and this judge apparently has a two pictures in the inner sanctum there. He's got Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Harry Hopkins.
Now, which judge? The one whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris, or the one who looks like a fish without a hook in his mouth? Which judge?
No, this judge in New York coming up on Monday. He was shot.
Oh, the one with the daughter that worked for Kamala Harris. The one who thinks he's Ricardo Montalban. Yeah, that guy.
Alvin Bragg is like 23-0 with this guy, so... I don't know. I hang on to your hat with this one.
Oh, it's going to be great. What do you think it's going to look like when they try to put him in prison? And what's the Secret Service's job when he is in prison? Did you ever think of that? We got to send some Secret Service guys in there.
Well,
with him,
they'll
right?
have to give him. They'll have to give him a special cell. You know, they'll have to get the sleeping quarters.
Or maybe they could say, "Come and get me," and I could drive over to Mar-a-Lago and see if they can get him. What do you think about that? Let's get the party started, Chubby. Thank you very much, Walt in Northwest Indiana.
Talking about Ukraine and...
Uh-oh, the NSA got you. Walt, are you there? I will find you, Walt. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
I'm here.
You're cut out for a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, want to give you some statistics about the situation between the Russians and Ukrainians. Right. Russia has a population three times the Ukraine. Russia, on a per capita basis, wealth-wise, is three times Ukraine, And if you put together the population and the per capita wealth, Russia has a gross domestic product 10 times that of Ukraine. And there's another liability the Ukrainians have, and that is they've got Biden in the White House supposedly backing them. He has been piddling around from the very beginning. He reminds me of what went on during the Vietnam War, and I am a veteran of the Vietnam War. Piddling around.
This will go down in history as the war that never had to happen. This will go down in history as the most outrageous atrocity and the disrespect of humanity that we have seen for 100 years. It really will. Thank you, Walt. I appreciate you being a Vietnam veteran. That's another war built on a lie. The Gulf of Tonkin. Get the hell out of here. By the way, what's going on in Vietnam? There's some updating.
A Vietnamese real estate tycoon has been sentenced to death in one of the country's largest financial fraud cases ever. Property developer Trong My Lan was sentenced yesterday for swindling cash from one of Vietnam's largest banks for over a decade.
Wow, she's like a Chicago developer in Vietnam. Only here, you know what we do? We pretend they go to jail while their kids buy property on North Avenue. Right, Resco, you greasy son of a...
My Lan denied the charges and blamed her subordinates. So joining us now from London is CBS News foreign correspondent Remy Innocencio.
Yeah. Vietnam, you get caught corrupting the government, they kill you. Bill in Hinsdale.
Sean, how you doing, bud? If this election is even remotely close with the black support and the Latino support, I'm moving out of this country. Because if anyone would vote for this idiot over Donald Trump, they are just despicable. You should have an IQ test to vote.
Bill, I have a cousin, Mike, arguably Mike, him and his brother are my closest. I love them like my own brothers. And he right now, he doesn't speak Italian, nothing. And he's a very successful guy. He's going to Italy. He's going to spend a month there. He's going to go to all the towns that we're from and all the rest of it. He's going to shop around. And he's like, I'm going to buy a house. And if this idiot wins, I'm just going to go sit there. Just go sit there and watch what happens. Because, I mean, obviously you have to be a country that wants chaos, bankruptcy, mayhem, and the criminals and the predators to have the run of the show. Because if you are a scumbag, Joe Biden is your fracking guy. So to me,
exactly. It's
if he can get away with it. Because I still say Trump won the last one. I don't know what the difference is. What's going to stop the steal?
Sean, do you think
time?
He's going to run? Do you think he's literally going to make it to November 5th? I mean, I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
No.
Do you think he's physically? Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
No, Joe Biden is dying before our eyes. And the other thing I say is, I don't think Trump's going to make it, because they'll put him in prison or in the graveyard before they let him run. And that's what you see. That's why they sell Alvin Bragg. They're making up all kinds of nonsense. They want this guy in the joint. And when he goes to the joint, what does that look like? I mean, do you think people are going to say, yeah, put him in prison? You got 74 million people that got robbed. The rest of the country pays for it. Now he's losing, or Biden's losing support among people who never even voted, or they just went, yeah, I'm a Democrat. He's losing it. So this is going to be a last ditch. It's going to get spicy, kid. Thank you, Bill in Hinsdale. Hope you got one of those bomb shelters in Hinsdale. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Кабас колбасит соло, колбасер по пояс голый.
Like a Ukrainian lobbyist. By the way, there was last count was 37 of them. Prior to the war, there was 3. That's not about the money. Scumbags. All right. I may get in an argument with a loyal listener, but it's Friday. Anything could happen. Robert, Bloomingdale.
Hey, Sean. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for your service to Walt and all who served in our past wars and current battles that we face today. Now, the reason I was calling is order to vacate that the Congress is considering by Marjorie Taylor Greene is dangerous, because do you realize that if that happens, you're going to have a radical running the Congress, the Senate, and the doofus for president? That's
as opposed
scary.
To now? Huh? As opposed to now? See, you
got
to understand.
The Republicans holding
you
the
don't
vote.
Have. No, you don't. What the hell good are they? What the hell good are they?
What did they do since this idiot grabbed the gavel? What did they do when the last idiot had the gavel? They're the ones stroking the check for this. You already lost. You think you got a team? He just did it again. He just doubled down. The FBI has more power, the same power, to surveil you and me. He didn't do anything. He's good for nothing. I think that's exactly what you should do. And throw his crooked, phony ass on the curb. Stop pretending you got a team, brother. How many times you gotta get punched in the face before you put your hands up? You have no majority. None. Where's that little rat bastard? Do I still have him on the board? Because, you know, sometimes I get aggravated and I flip him off, but I think I got him.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses.
Hundreds of thousands of abuses out of his mouth. Now he is in a position to change it. What does this lying rat do?
And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security.
National security? We have chaos! We've got terrorists walking in! What did you do about that with the border? Did you negotiate anything? Nothing. Fund it all. And you think we have a majority? I mean, how many times do you have to get stabbed? I don't understand that thinking, but I was always a terrible slave. I don't have a team. And you know what? The country was founded on the individual. You're not supposed to have a team either. We're supposed to have a republic. And this way we could send guys there, you know, to do simple things like tear out a corrupt past policy like Obamacare. How many guys did you support the Tea Party? How many Adam Kinzingers and low-life scumbag fraud lying rat bastards like Joe Walsh did you send there? How many? We had a majority then. We had a majority then. What happened? Guts on ghoul. You want to have a fist fight? I'm all game. And I'll win every one where the opponent is standing in front of me. It's the sidewinding scum that hits you in the back of the head that caused you to lose. That's what the Republican Congress is. Throw everyone out of it that doesn't want to stand for the principles of this country. And Mike Johnson is a scumbag. Simple. How many continuing resolutions? Paying for the abortion around the country. Paying for it all. Negotiated nothing. But the principles of the country are there. Because the principles are, we don't have to tolerate it. In fact, they are in the documents. We can and have the articles to nullify a corrupt Leviathan government. That's what we need to do. If we remember who we are. Now give me a little meatloaf, squirrel. I need him.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming and the rocket's red glare the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
That's what you hang on to. Not people who pretend to represent you and stab you in the back. Now, if you're in Chicago and you're a decent person, be safe. Keep your head on a swivel. If you voted for the Democrats, go for a walk. Let me know how it turns out on Monday. We'll be back then.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.